Hi, everybody. I'm Arun Venugopal, and this is The Takeaway. Last week, the Pentagon announced it's transferring $3.8 billion from various weapons programs to pay for President Trump's border wall. Meanwhile, construction for that wall in Arizona is damaging sacred Native American burial sites in a UNESCO ecological preserve. Poet Natalie Diaz was recently in Arizona and witnessed the construction firsthand.
For me, as an indigenous person, the wall represents America at its fruition, like America's finally full-fledged arrived at itself, but it also represents what America has been since its beginning. For all of its claims of respecting life, it has no respect for life. It has no forethought. It doesn't understand anything beyond its own appetite.
But the border wall construction continues to affect communities far beyond this particular site. There are tens of thousands of people belonging to Native tribes that straddle the border with Mexico and who frequently cross for school, work, or to visit family. Many in the communities worry that continuing with the wall construction may bar them from accessing these cross-border resources, many of which are granted by international agreements, including from the United Nations. Joining us today is Yaqui Chicana scholar Cristina Leza, professor of anthropology at Colorado College. Cristina, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello, thank you for having me.
How is construction of the wall affecting indigenous communities that live nearby?
It depends on the community and where they're located on the U.S.-Mexico border. There are some communities which are being impacted very directly on their reservation lands. The Tona'atham Nation, for example, you have had for many years border barrier construction happening directly on territories occupied by community members on the reservation. In communities like the Kumeyaay Nation in California, you have construction happening in sacred areas, such as a sacred mountain there. Also along the border, you have construction happening that is impacting sacred territories, burial sites of various indigenous nations. So although you don't see construction happening necessarily in home communities, you still see the disturbance of ancestral lands by that border wall construction.
I think for a lot of people, the border is a very particular sort of, I guess, symbol and tool. What does it mean to you?
To me, it means, I think traditionally, separation of people's a way of claiming ownership of territories in ways that, to echo Natalie Diaz, very much go back to the beginnings of the United States as a nation, attempting to disregard the presence of the first peoples of these territories and to establish a claim over these territories. And for indigenous peoples, the border is increasingly a symbol of genocide, as I think that we see in the beginnings, this attempt to eliminate indigenous peoples, eliminate traces of indigenous peoples in terms of their own claims over these territories as their homelands.
And how are these tribes resisting the building of the wall?
You do see tribal nations becoming increasingly vocal about border wall construction and the negative impacts of that construction on indigenous nations. The Tona'atham Nation in particular has been very vocal about their opposition to the border wall. The Yaqui Nation as well in Arizona has joined the Tona'atham in vocalizing their concern about border wall construction and border enforcement in general. You do see nations like the Tona'atham Nation and the Yaqui Nation working to find solutions to these problems. In January of last year, there was a border summit that took place in Tucson, Arizona, that was organized by the Tona'atham Nation and the Yaqui Nation together with the NCAI, the National Congress of American Indians, to try to work with other nations along the U.S.-Mexico border to develop policies that would help to secure the rights of indigenous peoples along the U.S.-Mexico border. And then on the grassroots level, you see protest action occurring. Various groups have definitely been very active, both on the ground along the U.S.-Mexico border, as well as active on social media.
So clearly very powerful interests in support of construction of a wall, beginning with the president at the top. But what kind of allies do these nations have?
In terms of allies, there are certainly political representatives who are working with indigenous nations or trying to help indigenous nations voice their rights along the U.S.-Mexico border. Representative Raul Grijalva, for example, has been very vocal in his opposition and has tried to relay the concerns of indigenous peoples. There are definitely, again, at the grassroots level, various allies in the Southwest, activists who have been vocal about their concerns and also attempted to help represent indigenous concerns along the U.S.-Mexico border.
I think for people who don't live near the border, it may be difficult to sort of picture some of these spaces and the ways in which people who are Native American kind of come and go. Can you give us a sense of what it looks like to someone who may be able to, you know, cross the international border?
Sure. And again, this depends on the nation. So, for example, on the Tona'athom Nation, it has become increasingly difficult for individuals to cross the U.S.-Mexico border through the traditional routes of the nation. There are traditional routes that people have followed originally by foot and then by vehicle. But because of border barrier construction, it's become increasingly difficult to be able to travel along those routes. In addition to barrier construction, there's also been difficulty for members of the Tona'athom Nation in terms of simply being able to cross their traditional lands for the gathering of medicinal plants, for purposes of walking along traditional routes, for ceremonial purposes, because of the constant presence of Border Patrol and the suspicion of Border Patrol agents who see individuals, in particular brown-skinned individuals, roaming those areas along the U.S.-Mexico border. And there have been reports from citizens of the Tona'athom Nation about harassment, feelings of intimidation when being approached by Border Patrol agents.
Christina Leza is a professor of anthropology at Colorado College. Thanks so much for joining us, Christina.
Yes, thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.